Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology on Blog Talk Radio. Three astrologers who get together and talk about what's going on in the sky and how that's reflected in life around us. This is Mark Waltz in New York City, and in the same town is
Ann Ortley on the Upper East Side of my bright red desk.
Good.
And Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from the snowy banks of the Mississippi in Minnesota. Though not as snowy as Boston this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've got nothing compared to them.
Oh. They got 6 feet.
6 feet and counting. We've got about six feet
and counting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine's going to college up there, and he's he signed up for a Shakespeare course, and it's met once since the beginning of the year. And he's like, I really wanted to go to Shakespeare. So it ain't meeting because it's on Monday and the place is underground. Under the snow. Plus, they won the whatever that thing is, Super Bowl. So then they had a couple days of partying with that thrown in, too. So good.
Yeah.
All good. But, yeah, it's
wonderful.
An interesting week. Yeah. So new and exciting stuff. They're very snowed in. Makes you appreciate the summer.
Yeah.
Which feels very
It's part of the, you know, one of the pieces about global warming or global climate change is a better phrase for it, because it's hard to convince people about global warming when they're under 6 feet of snow, is that all the weather systems are getting more extreme. So the hot gets hotter, the cold gets colder, and the storms get much bigger. The precipitation dumps are more extreme than they were when the weather is more modified by the way, by the huge shifts in weather from the very cold ice caps to the warmth in the middle.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have to say, I like the phrase climate change a little better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more apt because it is definitely changing. We don't know what
there is
a
definite, like every year, the mean temperature is getting warmer, but it's more noticeable in climate change itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of wild stuff.
Yeah. That's the planet we're on.
Yeah. As long as there's food to eat.
Yeah.
And Mercury is as stationary as they come tonight, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It took me a while to get into Blog Talk tonight to send out the little
announcement. Yes, me too.
We're talking. Yeah. It was like, I'm not answering you, babe. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah, just sat there and went,
it's for a good reason, Mercury. It's like it's a communication show, you know? And he was like, all right, maybe you can get in. But, yeah, I'm really ready. I have to say I looked forward to this because it's an Aquarian, and I thought it would be a fun Mercury retrograde. But it really hasn't been that fun.
Wonderful. My high school, which had went defunct, but right after I was there, has posted on Facebook all these old photographs. So I have been sitting in the memories of the past this week, which is very unusual. But for instance, yesterday Mercury stationary. My partner Ren tried to donate $100 to an important cause, and the website had a glitch and got it registered as $10,000, and we can't get American Express to change it. We have to go through this whole mishigas, and we can't get a hold of the people at the charity
really
to straighten that out.
Well, they're probably really excited because they got a $10,000 donation.
Yeah,
suddenly they're disappeared. But it was a glitch in the system. There, if you go to the webpage, there isn't even a place for $10,000 to click upon. But somehow it got two extra zeros got added. So we're hoping that as Mercury turns direct tomorrow that we can straighten it out. Today it was useless. No one was answering the phones anywhere.
Wow. Yeah, what do you do in those situations? I know I had a thing. You know, I did one. I was like middle of the night, and it was one of those free offers, just pay for shipping, and then of course they send you a bill for $80. And I was on the phone with Chase for a long time, and they were kind of like, "Well, you know, you didn't read the fine print." I'm like, and the one woman said to me, "Well, you know, we have thousands of these calls a month." I'm like, "Okay, so you know these guys are bogus, you've got all these people complaining about it. Why don't you block them as a vendor? You know, like, unscrupulous business person. She said, well, you know, you agreed. I said, no. It's very, very unclear, you know. But it was we know they're bad, but we're letting them do it anyway. And I was like, wow, you know.
Yep.
That's because
that matters is that we get our money.
We run a credit through.
The bank didn't read the fine print when they signed them up.
Right. So,
there was, I remember a friend who didn't think that she was ordering, you know, joining Columbia Record back in the day when there was the Columbia Record Club, and once you signed up for one CD, you had to buy a CD from them for the next 3 years.
Right.
And it was a hidden thing. Then she moved to New Mexico, and they sent her a nasty note saying, I'm sorry, we have to throw you out of the club because we won't send to people out of country. And she moved to New Mexico. So we just kind of just appreciated that. That was a Mercury retrograde. That was,
they don't even know what the country is. I love that. That's great.
Right. Mercury retrograde fixed it for her.
Well, it did fix it. Cool. All right. And yeah, Mercury retrograde. We also have this week Ceres and Pluto meeting. And they meet once every 5 years.
Yeah. And that's an interesting process.
And it's Capricorn, and it's a big mother energy. Now, when these guys met back a while back, when Mother Teresa and Princess Diana both took off that week. So Ceres is a lot of the story of the mother or the maternal. So we're going to find, you know, we always have with beginning stories, we have a beginning, and then we also often have right before the beginning, we have an ending. So kind of watch for the maternal story in your life this next week to kind of pop and change.
That's interesting.
It's definitely a big cycle. And it's in Capricorn. Now, normally Ceres and Pluto don't get along that well because he, you know, abducted her daughter, but they were brother and sister. So when they unite in the sky, we have a really, often have very interesting stories around mothers and around, that usually catches the collective's attention. And, of course, right before we have her join with Pluto, Ceres is going to square Uranus on Friday. So the story should start then, and then we roll into it over the weekend. So,
but
it should be an interesting
two together,
aspect.
I think that having Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston's daughter, that, you know, who's such a Persephone archetype, and went, you know, passed out in the bathtub in a way that was very similar to her mother, almost 3 years to the week apart, that she was found face down in the bathtub and drowning, just like Whitney Houston was, because Whitney Houston's, you know, the note on the death certificate was drowning, and that she would be going through this repetition of that Ceres Pluto down into the underworld and back again. It's also a story about a mother strangling her daughter and trying to strangle her son, also in the news tonight.
Oh, I didn't see that one yet.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Yeah.
I didn't miss that. I missed where it was.
But she did actually strangle her daughter.
She actually strangled her daughter, and she tried to strangle her son. And so, you know, there's interesting pieces around that. I think most of us won't experience it that way, but may find there is some better mother-daughter stories than that, because Ceres did work to save her daughter.
Right. And also because Ceres is often in food stories. You know, apparently there's a law in front of Congress about Monsanto not having to tell in any state, you know, federal regulation level, and it's like, wait, the FDA makes them tell us about the sugar and the grams of fat and the soy nuts, and they can't make us tell them about the GMOs. But, you know, there's a law afoot to block that. So that would certainly be Ceres Pluto. We can feed you whatever we want and not tell you. So, but do watch for it. And also, a lot of times, this is an excellent, when Ceres and Pluto meet, it's an excellent time for a food plan change. So a couple of times, you know, I've had people come in, they've gone radical diet changes, you know, gone vegetarian or gone macrobiotic or something, you know, health purposes or whatever. And it is very often tied to a Ceres Pluto or a Ceres Saturn aspect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
I have
in
also
both cases,
seen
yeah.
Ceres strongly placed in charts that have food anorexia or bulimia.
Yeah.
And that when the Ceres, and I remember in my chart when Neptune conjunct my Ceres in the fifth house, I had, and it's like living out the myth of it, was 30 years ago when I was in a custody battle for my kids.
Oh,
and it felt
okay.
like I was living out the mythology of Ceres. We managed to negotiate out of the custody battle, but it was a very close call. And
right.
it, I felt the Plutonian aspect of my ex acting up, and I had to work to not play Demeter, you know, be the grieving, distraught victim and pose like, nope, we're not doing this. We're changing this myth, because that myth wanted to sit right there in the middle.
Right, 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 right. Yeah.
And I've seen that many times when Neptune hits a planet in your chart, notice
mm-hmm.
how closely your life starts to live out that mythology.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to do it that way. You have
right.
to acknowledge that those dynamics are there, and you can choose a different story. You can have
right.
the story end differently.
Mm-hmm. Or you can look
yeah.
at it and go, okay, what am I looking for this to shift?
Right.
And I know in some cases you can accelerate it. So like if you're dealing with a Pluto, you want to look
mm-hmm.
for the reveal.
Mm-hmm.
You want to say, okay,
right.
Pluto, you normally travel with a mask of invisibility. Let me see what you look like. And then when you see what Pluto looks like, the transit's over. It
mm-hmm.
shifts. So you can go into
mm-hmm.
the myth
mm-hmm.
and punch it a little, not in a mean way because it's a myth, of course, but you can poke it a little to get it accelerating. And I find
yeah.
that really helps a lot sometimes when you're in these harder ones, you know, or some of the ones that you kind of go, well, I'm really drawn to it. I had somebody this week really drawn to going to work with someone who's very difficult. And, you know, we were talking about it, and she's like, oh, you know, he totally pushes all my father buttons and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, so, like, why do you want to go there? And,
mm-hmm,
you know, and part
mm-hmm.
of it was the fantasy or them working out the story, you know, and we do repeat these stories over and over again. There are archetypal myths. I mean, that's why Jung and Freud wrote about them. There are archetypal acting out in the world. But then,
mm-hmm,
then when
mm-hmm.
we apply a level of consciousness to it, we go, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe I do have that mythology, but I don't necessarily want to go rolling around in it again. So how do I change that dynamic and pick a different path? And I think
mm-hmm.
that's
maybe
why
the conscious. Yeah.
It's important to know that all of these scenarios are bringing us spiritual lessons. And if we'll get it, you know, pick up the lesson, understand it, then it'll ease up on the scenario that's trying to show us that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't come in quite as aggressively.
Yep.
Yeah. So this week, Ceres myths, mother myths, good mother and bad mother. Because remember, when
mm-hmm.
she lost her daughter, she had a little bad patch there where she
mm-hmm.
was, you stupid woman, I'm trying to make Achilles immortal and you interrupted me. You know, but you
mm-hmm.
walk in and the nanny's got the kid hung over the mortal fire. You know, if you were a mother, you'd scream too, you know. So
mm-hmm.
don't go burning my kid. So watch
mm-hmm.
for the mythology
mm-hmm.
in your own life or in the life of people around you. And if you have eating disorders, this is a really good week to get re-triggered. So kind of do whatever you do to keep yourself from having it act up again.
Mm-hmm.
Or any kind of disorder for comfort. You know, drinking,
then
drugging,
there
are
luckily so many other pieces that are happening at the moment which can help us move out of that process. The sun has just finished its opposition to Jupiter, which still brings up that a positivity. I'm finding that even though it has been dreary and Venus and Mars are in Pisces and people have been so emotional and they haven't wanted to go through it begins to come back. But there's still this, like, well, it could be better. I believe there's an optimism hidden underneath this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, even when people are feeling bad, and I've been
right.
really appreciating that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Mercury retrograde in Pisces, in Aquarius has been
A little challenging. Mm-hmm. A little challenging, that Mercury retrograde.
But, you know, we've got so many dreams coming up, and there's a new moon in Pisces right before the vernal equinox coming up in March. The new moon in Aquarius that goes right before it goes into Pisces. There's a lot of questions about how do we find our dreams now and really get reconnected with our dreams before we jump into this action-oriented springtime. So if you feel like you're stuck and you're holding still, see if you can do that and go, what was my dream? What was my vision? Where was I going with all this? And see if you can bring your actions back to that process.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And when you do, your dreams come true. Yeah, that's interesting.
Good. What
it
else
is a lot of me this Pisces. Pardon.
And one of our dreams is that everybody shows up to our workshop in New York, yes?
Oh, yes.
It occurred to us that with Mercury retrograde, people might be going, you know, I'd like to go, but I don't really know because it's Mercury retrograde. So we did extend our early bird registration through Valentine's Day. So feel free to sign up, and you can Google that by Googling Reading Relationships, Eventzilla, and it'll pop. Mm-hmm. It's also on my website. And
it's on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and go Access Astrology, Reading, and you'll see Reading Relationships, and go right there. You can, if you want to leave a note for other people that might be taking the Access Astrology workshop, you can. And there's a link there to take you to the Eventzilla page to register.
Right.
And we're excited about it because we love working together.
I know, it'll be fun.
One thing.
Yeah. Well, we like working together, but it also is it's a great opportunity. And also, whether it's your relationships or they're talking to your friends about them or... You know, there's so much richness in a relationship chart in terms of how the charts blend together and what the story is they tell about why you're together. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting because you'll work.
And, you know, that's also with business partners and friendships. It doesn't just have to be love relationships, but anybody that you work with.
Yeah. Cause
it's all about two sets of energy interacting.
Yep. And what do we do with them? Yeah. So
or
cool.
Three
so
sets.
If you can join
or four sets.
Yeah. Or four sets or more.
Yeah, you can.
You know,
with any of the things that are represented in astrology, you're taking one entity and seeing how does that interact with another entity. And you have a nice pattern to see how the energies flow in each of those entities. And then you learn how to read the interactions. It's very dynamic.
It really is. It's very cool. And then we also this week have, with the Mercury going direct, it's also stimulating the eclipse from last fall. So you can have the old eclipse story kind of surface as part of the journey because it's setting off that the point at zero, the Venus and the Sun at zero Scorpio. So this week can bring up the eclipse from October. So kind of watch for what that story is. How that story plays out in your life, and just go, oh, it's trying to clear itself. You know, it's got a new way of wanting to relate to me. So that's good. So we have a lot of callers if we want to do callers.
Let's take one.
We also have anybody has questions, feel free to email us too, because we do read questions on the air. And I did have somebody ask me to explain how they know when an aspect's going to be exact. How do they find that out if they're not an astrologer? And I didn't really know how to answer that question because I was kind of like, well, if you're not an, you know, I know I have this aspect. How do I tell when things are going to happen? So what would you guys say?
There are a couple of good programs on, I think astro.com does it, and so do a couple of others where they – you can get a transit report specifically for your chart. And you can have a printout of when these aspects will peak. If you're an astrologer, you know when they're coming. It's like the music on Jaws where it goes da-da-da-da-da-da. You can feel it coming and when it backs off and how long it affects you. That's a little hard to tell from the from the moment an aspect hits. You know, Pluto hits an exact conjunction to your sun once, maybe, but you'll feel it for the year beforehand. And then it'll drop off quite quickly afterwards. Most of these aspects you see on a printout like that, you would feel coming ahead of time. And then it will break. You'll feel it less right afterwards. That it's the impending energy is stronger for a transit. But that's, I would say, the only way to do it if you don't know how to read an ephemeris. Or you could sit down with your astrologer and learn how to read an ephemeris. Mm-hmm. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, the astro.com, A-S-T-R-O.com,
mm-hmm.
is pretty user-friendly. You can just go visit and, you know, put the information for your birth in and ask for a horoscope for your birth. And then you can also ask for transits and progressions. And they will show you when these things are happening. The other thing is that if you do sit down with somebody who knows astrology and learn how to use an ephemeris, that's what's in any astrological calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can take the 2015 calendar and know when Pluto is at what degree, when Uranus is at what degree, and then you learn in your chart which degrees are sensitive, and you can map it all out that way too. But that means you got to sit with somebody and just learn how to go through that. It's not hard.
Yeah.
So. No,
it's not. It's just like a table of numbers.
And I got one question.
When the
number's
the same as your numbers, then you're having something. If it's at 5, you're at 5. Something, and you got a planet at 5, something's getting woken up.
Right. So. And we talked about that the degrees, there's 30 degrees to each sun, and the degrees are like the, I think of them like the address number on your house. And you know that you're in the 300 block or you're the 200 block. If you learn your neighborhood, then you know that where in that number, you know, what block your house will be in. Will it be in this block or that block or the next block? Is it on the same block as another building? On a different road.
It's like when you fill out your income taxes, right? You do all the adding and subtracting, and you finally come up with a number that says your income. And then you go to a table that says if your income is this much, then your tax is that much. And really, that's exactly what you do with the ephemeris. You have a number, you go and look and see where the other numbers line up with it, and that's it. So if you can figure out your taxes, you can figure out an ephemeris.
But if you can't figure out your taxes, no. I'm better at the ephemeris than I am my taxes. But I don't.
Okay.
So we should probably take somebody, a caller.
All righty. Okie dokie. We got one that's been on hold since before we started. And if you've called before and we've talked to you a few times, then we may talk to you very quickly and go on to the next because we want to share. All right. Hi, 207-551. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi. My name is Tom.
And hi, Tom.
Hi. I was just, let me say first of all, happy St. Valentine's Day to all of you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And real quickly, because I know you're pressed for time, before the at the holiday season, nothing went as planned. Although,
can you give us your birth information while you tell your story?
January 27th, 1959, 11:52 a.m., Queens, New York.
Okay. Go ahead.
And nothing went as planned, but everything worked out. It was magical. It had such
That's
a great
lovely.
Orbit. I mean, it was such a fun time. Right up until the 31st of January, then everything... took a shift. It just, it was like I went from the air conditioner into the fire. It's a lull. Nothing's been happening. Except if it can go wrong, it has gone wrong.
Well, Mercury's been retrograde that whole time.
Yes, I know that. But it seems like it's a lot more than Mercury. I've gone through many retrogrades and
you've got this Pluto square trining your moon, and It's the best and worst of signs, as they say. It's the best of times. It was the worst of times. With Pluto trine, trine's a good aspect, but it's, you know, a kiss from the Lord of Death and Rebirth, as we say, is still tough. And it can be bringing up the best and worst of your life. And you were born with your moon just 10 degrees away from Pluto anyway. So it might be stirring up some very old stuff, as well as, you know, unusual doors opening and then karma clearing and then doors opening and then karma clearing, you know, cycling back and forth. About 2 months ago, your progressed moon went into Libra, and that's also a chance to kind of bring in some freshness and joy to your life. It's just taking some adjustment in the process.
Right.
And what do you see?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think it also is, you know, part of what happens with your chart is Saturn got to the very back end of Jupiter right around Christmas, and then he switched teams. He went into Sag. And so, okay, we're beginning
your
new
Pluto.
Reality.
He's
all that.
Pluto.
Squaring the Pluto, talking to the Saturn, but kind of and sextiling your midheaven, and then he's going to be doing that for a little while, and then he dips back in this summer, and he kind of clears up stuff. So I think of it as that. But also, I'm going to go with Heather with the Mercury retrograde. That's all on your 10th house, so it was like clear skies, fly, go, have a good time. And then it was kind of like, oh, nope, we forgot to tell you. You have to do this. You forgot this. You left the passport. And the whole journey reversed. And Mercury in Aquarius is all about your direction. So it was kind of felt like it was flying, and then it backed up. So I think now that Mercury has gone direct again, I think you'll find it's a lot easier. Yeah.
And with those bigger aspects, you'll probably find that in actuality, the goodness was a taste of the future. And now Saturn to Pluto and Pluto to the moon have sent you back to do some karmic clearing to help make room for what you saw possible at the turn of the year.
Okay.
And then you're going to come back to that.
Right. Because you're progressed on to 3 now, which often, you know, Saturn's going to get to 3, and that kind of accelerates and makes everything really take off. But then, you know, and then he goes, okay, wait, I'm not done yet. And then he goes back underground. So kind of think of it as the first part of the year is visioning and kind of the vision of what I'm going to do, and then I'm going to figure out some cleanup, last little bits of releasing, and then in September I really seriously build, because then Jupiter is going to be in an earth sign building rather than firing everything up.
Okay.
Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you have overall a lot of things for you tend to play out in a social scene too. So you experience in the people around you a lot of conflict, and that throws you off. It just seems the world goes topsy-turvy, and there's just a lot of things get messed up, and you know, so you feel it in the people you're relating to, and it'll help you to try to think of all the people around you as being your teachers, and you know, have the little phrase always ready, thank you for that. So when people seem to be going crazy around you or making you go crazy, just say, well, there must be something for me to learn in this. And then, you know, that'll help you find a focus.
Yeah. That's what I need, is a little focus in the right direction, I guess, wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, because of all the fire planets in the sky, it's very unfocused energy right now. So what you want, what I've found, because I'm very scattered these days, just picking stuff and making sure I finished that discrete task. Like, I cleaned the refrigerator over 3 days. One day I did the doors. One day I did the vegetable bins. And then one day I did the shelf.
That's good.
So by the
That's
end
perfect.
Of 3 days, I had the but it was like I had 15 minutes. I didn't have time to do the whole refrigerator, right? So I just did a little
that
piece.
That is
and
so, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Virgo. But I got to clean the refrigerator, you know. It makes me crazy. So, but I was like, I didn't have time. So I did that little and then zooped off, right? So
right,
the British lady said,
You never forgot about the fridge.
Never forgot about it. I just kept going back and going, okay, let me, next thing.
Tom, I just want you to forgive yourself and have, and know, and look forward to, you know, like, think of this time as karmic clear up, and what can you do to get ready for the good things that you saw coming ahead?
Yep.
Good.
Sounds good to me. All thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Take
Thank
care.
You very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, so that's it for the show. We are out of time. It's
good
the
night.
British Lady, and it's Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk, and
Heather Rowan Robbins at rowanrobbins.com, and Mark.
Mark Waltz in New York City. Okay.
See you next week.
So register for the relationship
Bye.
Course. Take
yes.
care, folks.
And
Bye.
We'll see you
Bye.
Soon. Bye.
Bye.